Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Happy Wednesday to you. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Kristen Lierley is here with us for the hour as well. Kirk Bankston will be rejoining us on Wednesday mornings in a couple of weeks here. But we are talking today about primary election results from Tuesday, how they shape the ballot come November, and the very clear choices that are going to be brought to Wisconsin voters. About 28% of Wisconsin voters turned out for the primary election yesterday, higher than 4 years ago, but obviously still a lot more work to be done. And not just in the November general election, but let's not forget that next April, there will be an election for Wisconsin Supreme Court that will determine the control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court as one of the conservative justices is retiring. There are two progressive candidates and one conservative candidate in there. I can hear you already. I can hear you going, why are you talking about the April election now? Because you need to know. You need to know what's coming up next to be a good little citizen. That there are votes in November, but then you're going to be asked to think about what's coming up in April because control of these things is at stake. This November, control of the governor's mansion, control of the legislature. But Kristen, control even of assembly Republicans may be at stake because Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, narrowly fended off a primary challenge yesterday by a fellow Republican who is more in the Trump wing of the party. And Mike Gableman took the side of Voss's primary opponent, even though Voss hired Gableman to investigate, quote unquote, the election. So Robin Voss said last night that he's going to call a meeting of the Republican Assembly Caucus for next week. And ostensibly to look at, you know, having them terminate the contract of Michael Gableman to investigate the election. But I wonder if that meeting may instead turn into something, you know, that where Robin Voss emerges as no longer the Speaker of the Assembly. You're familiar with the Republican legislators in Northeast Wisconsin. So based on that, do you share my suspicion that there's a chance things won't go as Voss thinks they will the next time he gets in a room with all of his colleagues?
I don't know. I think this is a really important meeting to watch because this is another meeting that is going to help us understand how much power Trump still has in Wisconsin. Robin Voss is a very influential person and his caucus listens to him. And knowing the legislators, the leaders up here in northeastern Wisconsin, they've flip-flopped on Trump. So there are a few who are really in Trump's camp, but there are a few who were never Trumpers and then they were Trumpers and now they're not really Trumpers. So my gut tells me that they're going to stick with Voss, but that remains to be seen.
Well, and it in part because Voss, like any majority leader in any legislative body nowadays, controls the purse strings as far as how much campaign cash from some of the larger pots, how they will trickle down to individual races. I mean, and that's just a fact of life in politics today. So again, it's just it is admittedly completely speculative on my part. But as soon as I heard that Voss was looking at calling a meeting for next week, I thought, well, it could be that Gableman gets the last laugh. Again, maybe not likely, but the fact that the Republican Party is that divided, tells you something.
Right. And I'm sure they're all going to put their heads together and think about what's the best thing for me personally. And with Robin Voss being so powerful in Wisconsin, I would be surprised if they turned on him. It would be great to get rid of Gableman.
Well, and that, again, that is probably the more likely thing. I think more assembly reps, Republicans don't want to look like they are still stuck in 2020. So they want to show that they are ready to move on. But, still suspicious of election and integrity and things like that. And I guess just as importantly, they're not going to want to appear to be even more fractured as they head in November, because they obviously want Tim Michaels to, be elected governor over Tony Evers. And if they appear to be at war with each other, that certainly doesn't serve Michaels well. I mean, Michaels will have his own issues. We started out the show with this and we're going to come back to it again, that, Michaels is basically a Connecticut businessman who is running for governor in the state of Wisconsin. And I want to set this up by, the original reporting on this was done by a right-wing news site, but one that, you know, did not favor Michaels to win this primary. Wisconsin Right Now was the one that, you know, reminded people that Tim Michaels has spent most of the last 9 years, you know, living between a $17 million estate in, you know, Connecticut and, you know, a penthouse in New York City. Kristen, you and I have lived out of the country. There's, you know, you've lived in Canada. I lived on Grand Cayman. Nothing to be embarrassed about on that. You can be upfront about that, right? It's just that we're not running for governor.
Right. Well, I mean, not yet, Pat. I don't know what your future holds. I mean, you know,
I will be your running mate.
A Kreitler-Lyerly ticket. I like it. No, you know, I think one thing that it really rings true to Wisconsinites is we love Wisconsin. Wisconsin really means something to us. And for someone to come from out of state and pretend that they get us, pretend that they're one of us. I mean, he stumbles all over the place when he's talking. He clearly is not one of us. So we as Wisconsinites have to make a decision about whether he actually represents us and has our best interests in mind, or whether Tony Evers, who is Wisconsin to the core, filled with common sense, kind and wonderful, is he the best guy? You can obviously tell. I know he is.
I think I have a feeling I know how you're voting come November.
No secrets.
Yeah. But, you know, as Wisconsin Right Now said in its introduction, you know, not vetting candidates is how they ended up with Brian Hagedorn, who, again, is a true conservative, but not on the wackadoodle side. So folks aren't all that thrilled with him in some sectors. Kristen Lyerly joins us here. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitler. Back after this. Were winners over Tampa last night, and we'll take them on again this afternoon, then a day off for travel, and then a very crucial three-game series in St. Louis against the Cardinals, which will decide the entire season. At least I keep telling Luke that, but you know.
I kind of feel like it's this way every year, or at least the last couple of years.
There's just these moments where you go, okay, are we done, or are we just, you know, are we just hitting a bump in the road? And Luke is going with bump in the road. So I'm hopeful. I really am. We have been discussing how we can be helpful to Tim Michaels. How can we aid in his run for governor? basically just so that he picks up a couple of votes that wouldn't come to him if people thought that he is, you know, spending most of his time living on the East Coast and is not, you know, is not a son of the soil here, shall we say. And Luke, did you say first what would question one be on the Wisconsin quiz that we want to give to Tim Michaels?
Well, I just want to see if he could play around a euchre with me. I believe not all Wisconsinites know the game of euchre, but they're at least aware of it for the most part. Not everybody knows how to play, but I'd be curious to know if Tim Michaels knows how to play a round of euchre.
So question one would be, describe the game of euchre. So we're just going to write these out here. I think the ancillary to that, though, based on what my wife's side of the family does over in the Manitowoc area, is what game are you playing if Jack of Diamonds is your partner? And if they don't come back with sheep's head, again, that's
specifically four-handed sheep's head, though. Come on, you're getting a little specific there. I mean, there's many different versions of sheep's head.
Oh, yeah, I know,
but four-handed.
What other game has Jack of Diamonds as partner?
That's true.
Pickleball doesn't, okay? Which is another one that I'm sure Tony Evers can school Tim Michaels on, is pickleball. It's a real habit of his. Let's see, what else? Oh, Kristen, you were asking about, you know, where you get a drink of water.
Well, yeah, if I'm really thirsty, if I'm really, really thirsty, and I'm looking for a drink of water, and I walk over to that little thing that's mounted on the wall, I would want Tim Michaels to tell me what that's called.
Yes. And I know we're talking about bubbler versus drinking fountain, but by the way, acceptable answer includes a Liney's tap. Deb, you're thinking it's beer taps. I will give credit for that. So
at one point in my thinking there, I also started to diverge to, or I'm kind of thirsty and I'm headed to the bar and I need to order the typical Wisconsin beverage, which would be a brandy old fashioned sweet with cherries.
Oh, let's find that out. Because again, there's several different variations of an old fashioned. Some are okay, are acceptable. For example, I frequently substitute bourbon, but I'm always a little bit dicey when people get to Southern Comfort. I've got, family and friends that do that. I think you're kind of tiptoeing the line there. And then there's some that I see on the menus of fancy restaurants, outside Wisconsin that try to, evoke a Wisconsin theme. And no, it just doesn't work. Save me. Do not put your raspberry liqueur in there or, whatever the case may be. So, yes, yeah, so we'll add a question about how do you take your old fashions? Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Specifically, maybe what kind of brandy?
I don't know. Let's get into that. Where are you, Kristen, on your brandy?
Well, so I'm like you, Pat. Like, I like to switch it up a little bit. I actually prefer olives, but I think you have to know the fundamentals before you can veer off course. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know that Korbel is the brandy of the brandy old fashioned, you're not allowed to substitute. You just take what you're given and you enjoy it until you understand.
How nice of you to segue into one of Grandpa Pat's stories. And this one is about, is about Korbel brandy. Of the many weird jobs that I've had over the years, not weird, but just, unusual, off the beaten path. For a time, while my wife was attending medical school in Milwaukee, I was the traffic director for a billboard company, for the big billboard company down in Milwaukee. I don't know what it's named now, but back then it was called Patrick Media Group in the late 80s, early 90s. And so as traffic director, my job was to memorize and know every one of the, I believe it was about 1,300 billboards around Milwaukee. And so I had to be basically like a taxi cab driver. If you gave me any address in Milwaukee, any street, I could take you there and I could take you to the nearest billboards and I would have to pick those out. Part of my job also involved getting national clients picked up at the airport and, in a company car and drive them all over the Milwaukee area to show them every billboard that I'd picked out for them so that they could see it for themselves. And if they didn't like one, they would tell me so. And then they would tell me what location they would like instead. So, you made a day of it. The person who was the most challenging for me was the rep from Korbel Brandy, because Korbel Brandy has no Wisconsin ties, none. It's just that for whatever reason, historically, people in Southeast Wisconsin grabbed onto Korbel as their brandy of choice. Mm-hmm. And so the Milwaukee area was, and Racine, Kenosha, far and away their largest market. And that man took his billboard seriously. if he loved a billboard last year, but a tree branch was encroaching a little too much on the visibility, he would ride me until I agreed, to relocate it to someplace else. But the fact of the matter is he and I, with each subsequent trip, and I'd always take him to Mater's, the German restaurant in Milwaukee. He loved Mater's. That always made him happy. And then I'd take him back to the airport. But as with each trip, we got along better and better. But he was old school curmudgeon. He's the guy that taught me, quote unquote, to say, because he had to say it once to, I don't know if it was his first grandchild or if it was a friend's kid or whatever. He was the one that said to me, Pat, if the baby is ugly, all you got to do is say, now that's a baby. And I have never forgotten that, as I've tried so hard to never use the phrase, that's a baby, no matter how he or she came out.
Thank you for sharing that. I may be able to use that in my life as someone who delivers babies.
If you tell me as an OBGYN, you've never had to say, now that's a baby, I'm sure you've had to take, do a double take once or twice, but I won't make you answer that. I'm getting way off track for our Wisconsin quiz, which yes, Korbel would be the correct answer, but an acceptable alternative, because again, I've had way too much Korbel brandy over the years, is now Jay Bovee. So very, very acceptable to go with that too. So we've got Brandy's. Oh, I know what it was. Luke, do you happen to have a song handy by House of Pain that you could play for us? And we could ask Tim Michaels, what do you do when this song comes on? Oh, did I cue you too early?
You cued me a little early. Give me one second. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
my other one, though, as I pull this real quick, you could ask, is Kringle an acceptable breakfast? Because I believe it is. And there's some people out there that think Kringle's just dessert.
What? Well,
dessert? What?
Who eats Kringle for dessert?
No.
That's what I've been told before from people outside of Wisconsin. They think Kringle is a dessert.
No. That leads us to our next question, come to think of it. If for dessert you don't have Kringle, but instead you have a grasshopper, what are you having? And if they make a face like, ew, then you know they have flunked that question as well. Grasshopper has got to be on the Wisconsin dessert menu. Frankly, we're getting set to start our own supper club right here, kids.
I think growing up here, I think I knew what a grasshopper drink was before I knew what a grasshopper insect was. Yes. I was like, what? That's weird.
And you can always tell if you're in a true Wisconsin supper club, because when you order it, you know, if they don't blink twice, you know, and don't think anything of it and say, you bet, it's one thing. If they give you a dirty look like, oh, I got to get out the mixer and I got to get out the ice cream, they're not worth your time. You know, a good Wisconsin supper club is going to say, oh yeah, of course. Sure. You want that. Or what's the other one? There's Pink Squirrel and there's
Brandy Alexander.
Thank you. Yes. So yeah, we could actually see if you can name the three ice cream dessert drinks that you'll find in any Wisconsin supper club. Now to our next question. You hear this song by House of Pain. What do you do?
I'm gonna pause it right there because I think the rest gives it away. But that horn alone should let you know what you need to do next then. And I don't know if Tim Michaels could answer that question.
Kristen?
My heart is racing right now. I just can't. I gotta get out of my seat.
I know.
I need to jump around.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. Do you know what the jump around is? And look, you don't have to be a Badgers fan, you know, people that go to Marquette or UWGB. I mean, everybody knows it.
Well, if you are a Badgers fan, you got to ask the question, though, too, of how many fingers do you put up in the air when that song starts? And you raise your hand with a certain amount of fingers in your hand, and you have to be able to know that, in my opinion, if you're going to be jumping around to that song.
Well, then I will have to admit that as a Blue Gold, I have no idea what you're talking about. But guess what? As
guess
a Blue
that...
Gold, I can also tell you I don't know what a Blue Gold is. So give me the trivia on the fingers here.
See, that's the harder part of the quiz then. It's the subsequent, you know, question B of that question. But it's four fingers in the air because it's the start of the fourth quarter every single Badger game. So you're calling out the fourth quarter by hearing jump around. That's when the greatest tradition in college sports occurs in between the third and fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A greatest tradition.
That's what we call it.
Okay. I think it's great. I'll tell you what it's better than. It's better than the Yahoo who thinks it's a great honor to dot the I in Ohio, you know, when the marching band is out there. That was the
Wait a minute. I feel personally like I am at least a Big Ten aficionado. I've got some credentials. Okay. So
you've got it as a gopher. So careful about your Big Ten.
Yes, but also I have 2 degrees from Wisconsin and 1 degree from Minnesota. And I was in the marching band from Minnesota. So I have to say that tuba player who dots the I in Ohio, that is a big deal. Everybody in a Big Ten marching band knows about the person who dots the I. So, I mean, respect.
Judges.
I was in marching band.
I understand how difficult that one tuba player must have it. So I can definitely throw out mad respect for it. The other sports song tradition is whether or not Tim Michaels could sing the lyrics of Roll Out the Barrel if he's at a Brewers game.
If you use the word terreral in a song, what song are you singing?
I mean, it rhymes with barrel, so hopefully that's an easy one. But, you know, I don't know if the East Coast guy could answer that question.
That is indeed a fair question.
I think they put the words on the screen too.
They do.
Well, but again, you'd have to go to the game. You'd have to be, you know, a part of the magic to do this. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our making up a quiz right on the spot.
We didn't even get to squeaky cheese curds.
Oh gosh, we definitely have come up with a squeaky question.
We talked about that yesterday's show, and I'm ready to go get mine later today.
There you go. All right. Yeah. We'll just keep building on this so that Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels can tell us if he's ready to run for Wisconsin governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. That's Kristen Lierley. This is Up North News. We'll be back in just a bit. Listen for the key word here. again, the password is Torero.
How do you spell that? Spell this.
Yeah, I couldn't catch. I'd need two more tiles, Chuck. From the incredible to the inedible, there are some more Wisconsin items that we want to share with you in a story that just went up yesterday at upnorthnewswi.com by Christina Laurie. The food and the fun that set the Badger State's State Fair apart from all the rest. It is marketed as the best 11 days of summer for a reason. The State Fair has a rich history of bringing together people and animals and music and carnival rides and show booths and some weird food. So, here, pop quiz for you guys. Not necessary to prove you're a Wisconsinite. What year was the first Wisconsin State Fair? It was within a short time of statehood, but I'll tell you, it was not 1848.
1853. 1875.
Boy, you really thought it took them a while to get to it. No, Kristen was close. 1851. I thought at least you'd do Prices Right and guess $1. For me, but 1851. So anyway, about 1 million people from across the Midwest will come in. And so Christina wrote up some things that are ubiquitous to the Wisconsin State Fair. What are our thoughts on the State Fair cream puff? I'm going to tell you, I'm not the world's biggest cream puff fan. I'm more of a mini donut guy. I don't begrudge anybody who wants them, but you know, other people swear by them. Let's see, how many do they go through? You know how many cream puffs they go through at the State Fair?
It's an unbelievable number. It's a factory.
Yeah, 400,000.
Wow.
These things were first sold in 1924. An estimated 400,000 will be consumed throughout the 200-acre fairgrounds. 150 bakers work 24/7 to keep up with demand. And you can not only get a fresh one there, but you can get a 3-pack or a 6-pack to go.
I'm of the Jesse Apoyan school of thought where I don't like cream puffs. I think they're overrated. So
I think that Jessie O'Point of the Cap Times really thought that she was going to be hounded out of town with torches and pitchforks when she first put that up in the Twitter sphere. The backlash that initially came, but she opened a portal for all kinds of other people to say, it's not my favorite either. And you can't kick them all out of the state. So Jesse basically started a third party in Wisconsin. There's Democrats, there's Republicans, there's people who just aren't cream puff fans.
She walked so that I could run, and I appreciate Jesse for that.
But let's talk about some of the other amazing food at the fair. Everything on a stick.
Yes, right.
Some of the most incredibly weird things. I'm trying to think of what we had last year when we were there, and we looked at it and we were like, this doesn't make any sense, and I'm buying it because it's got to be extraordinary if they made it. And we liked it. I can't remember what it was.
There are not one but two new foods this year that feature insects on the menu. Remember we were talking about grasshoppers in the last segment, that's a frozen drink? Well, hang on, folks. The Exotic Meat Grill serves an Arctic Bug Blast slush. It's a raspberry slushy topped with whipped cream and a sprinkling of edible bugs, including scorpions. Yes, they are real, a sign on the booth confirms. Meanwhile, if you're still hungry, you can head over to All Things Jerky for a chocolate-coated apple that's finished off with edible June bugs, crickets, worms, and ants. All served on a stick.
No.
It's on a stick. If it's on a stick. Okay. No. back to old fashions. You can apparently have an old fashioned on a stick. Let's see, where is this at? Freeze's Candy Shop is serving a brandy old fashioned s'more on a stick, a whipped cream bar sandwiched between two graham crackers, coated in milk chocolate, drizzled with white chocolate, garnished with dried orange and a cherry. And that was one of the finalists for the Sporkies, which is the State Fair's annual food event. I'm not really catching what is old fashioned about the s'more beside the orange and cherries, but I guess I'll just have to eat one to find out. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The champion Sporky this year is the Peño Pretzel Popper Brat from Gertrude's Pretzel. It's a 10-inch jalapeno cheddar bratwurst wrapped in fresh pretzel dough, topped with coarse salt, fresh-cut jalapenos, drizzled with white cheddar sauce, and served with a jalapeno cream cheese.
I don't know about you, Luke, but I'm getting really hungry right now.
Yeah, this is the second day in a row now that Pat's just going to make my stomach growl before we hit the end of the show. And I'm
I made clear yesterday the 10 o'clock hour is going to be our food hour, because when you have breakfast at 5 a.m., you are jonesing for some kind of lunch at 11:01. So we're spending the 10 o'clock hour going with other Sporky's finalists that include black bean burrito balls, flaming hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, and then to wash it all down, a cinnamon toast crunch latte.
That sounds too sweet. Now, I don't know if I.
Yeah,
can do
now
that.
Now I'm not so sure if I'm totally hungry. Fair Week isn't only about the food. Of course, there's the giant slide, which has been a favorite of all kids since it showed up more than 50 years ago. How much does it cost to ride the giant slide this year, you guys?
$4.
Kristen.
I'll go $5.
$3, still a bargain.
Oh.
Okay, wait, as long as you're talking about giant slides, because I live in Green Bay, I've got to put in a little plug for Bay Beach.
Yes.
The slide up here is less than $1. That's 25 true. Cents a ticket, my friend.
Yep. Bay Beach was the Six Flags of Northeast Wisconsin when my wife was growing up. That was their big trip every year, was these six farm kids, you know, piled into the vehicle, headed up to the big city of Green Bay, and did Bay Beach. And it still holds a, you know, special place for her and others. We've brought, you know, kids and grandkids there ourselves.
Yeah, there's a great little roller coaster. There's a beautiful Ferris wheel that looks out over the bay. You can see the whole city and Lambeau and everything. It's lovely. It's a really nice, cheap place to go and hang out with other people and eat some pretty great food.
One of the things that I really appreciate about living in Wisconsin is that there is the Wisconsin State Fair. But there are county fairs, but then there are some basically county fairs that have become regional fairs and refer to themselves as state fairs. I say that here in Chippewa Falls, the home of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, but you'll also find the Central Wisconsin State Fair. And you know, of all things Midwest and traditions that live on is that you still get people all together. It was all rooted in showing off the best handiwork, the best livestock, you know, the best, you know, homemade food. And those things are all still there. But then you always added to it. There were, you know, first there were a few rudimentary rides, and then there were very fancy high-tech rides. You had some live entertainment. Now you have big name shows, you know, that come in. And that's even not counting the music festivals, you know, Summerfest and all the other ones all around the state. We have definitely found a way to make our summers, you know, more than fair. And so you mentioned Bay Beach. Luke, I don't know if you have a favorite fair or occasion down in your part of the state.
So I grew up in Milwaukee area. So
Summerfest.
So Summerfest and State Fair were always kind of the yearly traditions. I'm going to the State Fair this weekend. So I will be in Stalas this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. But I also like, you went through some of the kind of obscure, crazy wackadoodle foods at the state fair. I like some of the traditionals as well, though. Just a good corn on the cob. Like they've got the Lions Club roasted corn on the cob, a nice baked potato, and just like, you know, that's the state fair right there to me. And some of the crazy things, and you split it between everybody because you never really need any of those items that you described on the Forky's list and stuff. You don't need to eat all of those yourself. So you split them amongst friends and family and you have a good time kind of being like, this is really interesting and I'm glad I tried it, but I don't need it again. One of the ones, though, that I did try that's kind of weird is deep-fried olives. And they're on a stick.
I loved those!
And they were so good a few years back that now I make it a regular thing that I do get my deep-fried olives. So it's kind of worked its way into a traditional classic fair food for me now that's not just the obscure new thing that was a few years ago.
Are you reading my mind? Because I was honestly thinking about those. Like, my stomach is growling right now, Luke.
I'm looking forward to it. I already know where they're located. I always question, though, because it's never really a great placement. They're very close to the milk booth that Herb Kohl used to have. It's a new location, closer to the Expo Center now at the State Fair. But it's never an easy decision whether or not you have the milk before the deep fried olives or after the deep fried olives.
Not exactly a pairing when you're right. doing pairings.
But they're right next to each other. So like, if you want to be smart about the way that you're walking through the fair, they got to go either in tandem or one after the other. And so it is a little more difficult. What I have figured out, I think I did it right last year. I got the olives going into the Expo Center, and then leaving the Expo Center, I got my milk. So I was able to space it out in between, and I'm hoping I can go through with the same strategy this year as well.
I'm immediately thinking of the meme where we just do a close-up on Luke, and there's all these number signs are coming out of his head, you know, punctuation marks and calculations.
And it's just captioned, Luke at the State Fair trying not to throw up.
I was going to go with trying to decide what order to have food in, but sure, we'll head right to the vomitorium function, portion of the fair. My wife loves at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. There is a Euro booth where, you know, she swears by the Euros that particular, you know, booth makes every year. People love to come. The first thing you see is this great big booth for French fries. And people love to have their bucket of French fries. And over here on the western side of the state, people are just as likely, if not more likely, because of the proximity to the Twin Cities, to scamper over to the Minnesota State Fair. And as somebody, you know, who spent his early childhood in St. Paul, you know, I can vouch for Sweet Martha's cookies, you know, where again, you get a bucket of freshly made chocolate chip cookies. And then you scamper over to the all you can drink milk booth and try to get, you know, some of that going as well. But you mentioned the corn. And man, when you can get the sweet corn at just the right time, and at the fair where they just dunk it in the coffee can of melted butter, you know, you've lived, and you just hope that the defibrillator is not too terribly far away.
We used to do that in block parties. We used to have block parties where we would like block off the street and we would rent a corn roaster and get an old Folgers can, fill it with water, put a couple sticks of butter in there and just hang out with our neighbors.
Hey, Luke, I sense show staff party in the making here.
There we go.
What do you think?
I
think we can make this happen. it is sweet corn season. And I think the most traffic I got on social media last week was on Friday afternoon when we made a spontaneous trip to Klinger's farm market, which is just north of Chippewa Falls here, and got some of the first batch of sweet corn. And I put up a picture of this basically pyramid of corn with one of them having a few bites taken out of it already, a pyramid of cobs, and telling people I was going to take an extra long lunch hour. And I did. And it was worth every bit of it. So we would like to know as well, you know, your own thoughts on, you know, what fairs did we miss? What foods did we miss? What other Wisconsin questions do we have to ask Tim Michaels to, you know, see if his Wisconsin cred is still with us? And for all of that, you can email the show radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So we have to at some point here transition back into what we will be doing for, you know, the next 90 days after this and the things that we will be paying attention to. But before we do that, I want to put an epilogue on all of the election coverage and promise you, like I do every election season, I'm taking a vacation right after election, and you will not see me because I am unplugging as quickly as humanly possible. But you have to be careful about that because in 2020, I did plan that time off right after the election, but it had to shift a couple of days. I couldn't take off like right on the Thursday after the election as I'd planned. And thank goodness I didn't, because we all saw what happened in 2020, where vacation could have been ruined by breaking news and an election that, you know, was still a little too close to call. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing my scouting out. Kristen, you're probably more traditional. Your vacation is planned for the middle of winter. Something like that.
I'm kind of an on the fly kind of gal, you know,
trying to figure out all
the kids' schedules. So we
look, you got enough to do just planning the sweet corn block party for us. So you just focus on that.
Come on.
And we'll talk about how to get out of election season in just a bit. We'll take our final break and wrap up the show in just a moment. You're up north.
Oh boy. There's life in the old boy yet.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Craitlow. I'm looking to see if we actually do have some breaking news. And it turns out it looks like we do based on the Twitter traffic. So let's go to our breaking news correspondent, Luke Mathers, to tell us the latest from the Wisconsin governor's race.
Yeah, I got Reed J. Epstein, a reporter for the New York Times, politics reporter for the New York Times, has shared out that Republican businessman Tim Michaels has struck it from his website that he was endorsed by President Donald Trump in the primary against Rebecca Clayfish. It was pretty much his leading aspect. All of his ads were saying that he was the candidate endorsed by Trump. But if you take a picture, Reed J. Epstein took two side-by-side screenshots of yesterday before the final results of yesterday's partisan primary. And there was a mention before the primary that he was endorsed by Trump. And if you go and look at that same page on Tim Michaels' website, he
same
has
page,
removed
same
it.
Paragraph, same everything,
picture,
just
same
missing
header.
Those four little words, endorsed by President Trump.
And there was a hyperlink to it on the previous one.
This is consistent, though, with, remember, before the primary, when he was asked if he would endorse President Trump, he was equivocal. He wouldn't. But then somebody got to him and explained that he needed to. So he said, yes, he would. So now that he's won the primary, he's gotten where he needs to go. And this is a change.
It just feeds into what Congressman Mark Pocan has been posting. He says, big night in Wisconsin last night. Two out-of-touch multimillionaires won the Republican nominations for governor and U.S. Senate. Of course, Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson. Michaels is from out of state. Johnson is from out of planet. That's from Congressman Mark Pocan. And of course, he ends with asking people to support Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes. So, before we get back to that, when we were talking about various celebrations and things, you know, some are big events, some are small. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that right here in Chippewa Falls, the home of Line and Kugels, tomorrow marks the return at the Liney Lodge, no less, of Line and Kugels Sunset Wheat. My favorite, the favorite of millions of Liney's drinkers. Still do not know why they ever got rid of it for a little while, but Sunset Wheat is back, will be revealed tomorrow. And when I go down there, if I see Dick, Jake, or John Leinenkugel, I'm going to ask them to, you know, to give me the exclusive on what took them so long to listen to me and bring back what's been described as the fruity pebbles of beer because of some of the hints of flavor that are in there. Like I said to you last week, Luke, you know how to drink an IPA. You open the can, you pour it down the drain.
Stop it.
So we have simply a different view.
Yes, but I would also, we could add that to the test for Tim Michaels. We should come up with just multiple choice, and you have to circle which ones are actual Wisconsin brews, and he would have to choose between just, and there'd be some wrong ones thrown in there.
Just from Spotted Cow and all of its
Nuclearis,
sister brands, you know, Moon Man and some of the others. Oh, we could totally make up, you know, some.
Yeah, circle all of it.
We don't even have to go for Kirk Bangstad's, you know, stuff, but we could force him to guess, you know, if Evers Ale is an actual Wisconsin beer flavor or not. That could be enjoyable.
See, Tim Michaels pegs me as the kind of guy that would go to a bar and maybe order a Budweiser, and that's just not somebody you want as governor of Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
No. And you can't even get away with it by ordering a Mick Golden, because, you know, while that's a popular brew in parts of the Midwest, it's still a St. Louis beer from Anheuser-Busch. Cannot let you get away with that. Kristen, before we wrap up our coverage of elections and looking ahead to the general, I wanted to ask if you had any legislative races that you wanted to highlight and you wanted to call attention and shout out in the 5th Senate District and talk about the race there.
Jessica Katzenmeyer. Jessica is a friend of mine. We ran together for assembly in 2020, and she has just won her primary for the 5th Senate District. It's going to be a tough race. She is a fierce supporter of unions. She is an incredible networker, and she's a trans woman, which makes her a very compelling candidate. So I'm very excited to see what happens in this geographically interesting district, as well as up in Door County. We've got, I should say more than Door County, but Northeastern Wisconsin, Andre Jacques, state Senate seat, District 1. Andrea Gage Michaels is a lawyer from the De Pere area, and she is going to give Andre a run for his money, which I really appreciate as a physician, because Andre is the least woman-friendly, least medicine-friendly legislator we have out there, except for maybe Shea Sartwell.
Well, and somehow, unlikely COVID survivor. And
unbelievable.
If anybody should run in his place, it should be his brother, Pierre, whose Twitter account is hilarious in taking
Pierre.
Shots at his brother and his family. So, yeah, we definitely wish Andrea all the best in that district, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a lot of races to spotlight over on your corner.
Oh, we could go on and on and on. Jane Benson, running up against in the Marinette area, Northern Green Bay. She is a staunch Democrat. A longtime League of Women Voters, very engaged in the community. I was shocked that she stepped into this gerrymandered district, but she felt like this was her duty. And man, if anybody can win this district, it's going to be her.
So you would think that with the legislature being on a 10-month paid vacation, that not much would be happening. But we talked earlier about our friend Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And I see he just tweeted that this is just in. Following Michael Gableman's comments and Robin Voss's comments last night on Michael Gableman's investigation, quote unquote, Democrats on the legislature's joint audit committee are now requesting a comprehensive audit of the Office of Special Counsel. They say the Office of Special Counsel, authorized by Voss, run by Gableman, appears to be one of the most blatant misappropriations of tax dollars in our state's history. Yeah, where's the lie in that? I mean, not counting Foxconn, obviously, well, which had a bigger price tag. But you know, whether the Joint Legislative Audit Committee will be able to do much about that, I know that, for example, Senator Tim Carpenter in Milwaukee has, you know, tried to get audits done as well. But I think it's very important in light of what we heard yesterday over the past couple of days, mm-hmm. that, you know, this Gableman investigation, yes, it's being tied up in several courts for, you know, terrible behavior, terrible processes, but that doesn't mean there shouldn't be an audit as well, Kristen.
Well, let's recognize that there's also the court of public opinion, and that's where it hasn't been able to gain traction. But maybe now, with Voss being so open about this and with Democrats having a critical mass, maybe we're able to actually gain some ground here.
Could be. And again, the voters are going to have to hear about this and much more through a flood of other advertising and other information that we will try to sift through for you. Thanks, Kristen. We'll do this again next Wednesday.
This is always such a joy, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it so much. Y'all have a great day out there. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitler. See you at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back tomorrow.